views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most inspired visionaries on the planet in lighthearted, lively dialogue. Join us as we explore the expansive nature of reality in a down-to-earth way, offering you insights and tools empowering you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Now, here's your host, Christine Upchurch.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show, where we have stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. I'm talking to you today from Transformation Talk Radio, and you know, every week I'm talking to you from KKNW, but today is an exception, and it's a special day, I have to tell you. Not only because of the guest I've got on today, who's got some fascinating things to say that can really help us to change, but because I'm working with my old friend, Brian Eugene Sullivan. Hi, Brian. How are you doing today?
I'm doing quite well. How are you doing today, Christine? A pleasure to be back with you again.
It's great to be with you as well. And, you know, after hearing the weather forecast out there and talking to our guest beforehand, who's also in the New York area, my goodness, we're having lovely weather here compared to out there.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So do you have snow where you're at right now or not?
Not yet.
Yet is the opportune word, right?
Yes, indeed it is.
Well, you know, I'm excited about the show today because, you know, I've been on my own psycho-spiritual journey for many years, literally decades. And I've done a lot of reading and I've done a lot of inner work on my own and I've worked with therapists. And when I heard the title of my guest book, I heard a phrase that I had never heard of before. The person I'm talking about is Susan Anderson. She's a psychotherapist, and she is the author of what her latest book is, Taming Your Outer Child, Overcoming Self-Sabotage and Healing from Abandonment. I'd never heard of outer child before. She's also the author of The Journey from Abandonment to Healing, which has sold like 125,000 copies. She's the founder of the Outer Child and Abandonment Recovery Movements. And, you know, she's spent the last, what, 3+ decades of clinical experience and research to help people resolve abandonment and overcome self-sabotage. And we're going to have her share with us, you know, why abandonment is such an issue and how that connects with self-sabotage. And I'm really happy to have our guest today, Susan Anderson. Susan, welcome to the Christine Upchurch Show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Christine.
You know, Susan, I was just fascinated by this term outer child. You know, for the last couple of decades, we've heard lots about the inner child. So why don't we start there? Can you please share with our listeners, what is the inner child?
The inner child is all about your feelings, your emotions, your deepest needs that are the core of you, the pit. And the outer child is the part that acts it out inappropriately. So let's say that you feel insecure. That's your inner child having an insecure feeling. Your outer child may act that out inappropriately and sabotage your love relationship.
Right.
It may be too clingy, or it may shut down or get angry and sabotage the relationship.
Okay. So why is it important to make a distinction between the inner child and the outer child?
Well, until the idea of the outer child came along, there was really no way to separate the emotion from the reaction. You know, even Freud, in his concept of the id refers to the emotion and the reaction to the emotion. So that you have it all tied in together, they're merged. And the real way to change behavior is to be able to finally separate emotion from behavior, to be able to know what you're feeling but not necessarily act on the basis of that feeling. So, you know, even in parenting, when you're parenting your children, you can say to your children, I know you're angry, you know, let's say Johnny, I know you're angry at your sister, but hitting her over the head with the toy is not appropriate.
Right.
Or it's unacceptable. So you're helping your son separate his emotion, which is rage, which you can validate, from the behavior, which is hitting his sister over the head.
Right.
So that need to teach our children this, and as adults, it is very difficult to do, but we need to teach it to ourselves as well.
So the example you gave, you know, is in childhood, and of course, we're talking about the childish parts of ourselves on some level. When you're talking about the bad behavior of the outer child, is it all in relationship to how we behave towards others, or does it relate to how we behave towards ourselves as well?
Oh, yes. It's the self-sabotage. So we behave toward ourselves in a way that's very self-defeating. You know, if we love ourselves, but only enough to indulge in self-indulgence and immediate gratifications, then we'll have feel-good relief, but we won't meet our goals for fitness. We won't get into that healthy relationship. We won't improve our careers. We won't fix our bank accounts. We won't unclutter our houses if we'd constantly give in to the need for indulgence. So we're not loving ourselves enough, just enough to indulge, but not enough to put aside those indulgences to really work toward what we really want out of life, which is to feel good about ourselves and to feel loved by someone else. So outer child, which is a slave to immediate gratification and always goes for the easy way out, the quick fix, is always there, you know, wanting to get what it wants. It wants just easy does it. So let's say we decide as the adult we want to clean out the garage. But the outer child says, let's put that off till tomorrow. Let's watch the game instead. Outer child is always looking to take the easy road, the more pleasurable road, and will leave us and our goal dry and unachieved.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, is the outer child actually serving the inner child?
The outer child was very helpful when we were children and we had all these powerful emotions. And, you know, children were very helpless and we just feel, and we can't do much except to distract ourselves and cope. And the outer child developed at around that point in our development when we needed a way to react. We needed something to be able to do about it. So outer child really was the way that we tried to help ourselves. And it was probably very helpful to us when we were children to have to be able to react, to be able to yell at somebody if they made us mad, or to be able to shut down if something bothered us a lot, or to be able to ignore something that was really bothering us. These were very healthy behaviors at the time. But as we become adults, ignoring a problem only makes it get worse. Shutting down makes us not be very good in relationships because we're not emotionally present. Yelling, and as a way of handling something, usually gets us into more trouble and rarely solves the problem. So the things that worked as children become maladaptive when we get into adulthood, yet they're patterns. They're locked in there. You know, they're so deeply entrenched that although we modify them and make them a little more sophisticated, you know, they're still the knee-jerk reaction that we have.
Yeah, that makes sense about coping. And then once you grow up, then it's, there's no good effect based on the bad mechanism. Because when we're kids, when we're using that as coping mechanisms, don't we just like, we're doing that to, because we can't get what we want or what we need. But as adults, isn't it our responsibility to seek out how to get what we need, and as opposed to avoiding, you know, dealing with it?
Absolutely. So as a child, you know, when we felt kind of helpless, we might have been home kind of bored or feeling a little empty, and maybe our parents were very preoccupied with other children or other priorities. Maybe they were alcoholic and we chronically felt, you know, kind of alone and empty and not important enough to our parents or whatever. We're home and we're bored and empty, and so we eat cookies, okay? That was actually kind of helpful to us as children, because it was the child looking for, I can't get the love or the attention or the stimulation that I need, so at least I can give myself something that makes my mouth feel happy, and
right.
that's a cookie. So it's a, finding a substitute for the real thing. When we're adults and we're trying to get fit, and we get bored and lonely and not understimulated and or not loved enough or feeling, you know, many there's so many varieties of feelings that we can have. Going toward the refrigerator to look for food as a solution usually creates a bigger problem.
Right.
And then we're not fit enough and we don't feel good about ourselves, which tends to feed the isolation instead of get us out into circulation and interaction with other people.
Right,
so the
right.
outer child started out with the best intentions. Well, you can't get the attention that you need, so we'll give you a cookie. But now as an adult, we need to find other ways, replacement behaviors that actually help us get our goal achieved. So if fitness mm-hmm. is the goal, the last thing we would do to try to make ourselves feel better is to go grab food out of the refrigerator.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense, Susan. Well, you know, we're going to be going to a quick break, but when we return, Susan, I'm going to want you to talk about how all this relates to abandonment, because that's huge in your book, and I know it's been a huge part of your journey as a professional. So, but we're going to go to a quick break now. More with Susan Anderson, author of Taming Your Outer Child, when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Bonum Selecta!
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Time. Talk Radio.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information.
What does a dentist of the year get? A little plaque. Welcome to Smile Big, where we offer cosmetic, restorative, and preventative dentistry. Dr. James Rosenwald and Dr. Susan Abdenard work hard every day for their clients to be happy to smile with the latest equipment for complete smile restoration for anyone. The sooner you call, the sooner they can help. Call 425-454-4040 or email scheduling at smilebig.com. You can even visit our website at smilebig.com.
We Carry the Light with host Dr. Susan Allison is the show that inspires you to find the light within and shine your light in the world. You'll hear from guests who model how to be the highest, brightest, most evolved, fulfilled, and conscious humans possible. Tune in each Thursday, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com and let Dr. Susan help you discover that you carry the unique light that only you can shine.
What if there was no right or wrong way to be a great parent? Join Access Consciousness Facilitator Glenna Rice as she and Dr. Pat invite you to be the questionable parents you truly are and empower you to know and give the awareness required to create ease and joy with your children. Join Dr. Pat and Glenna as they focus on parenting for the modern family. Tune in every month to the Dr. Pat Show on air and online at TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. I am having a conversation today with Susan Anderson. She's the author of Taming Your Outer Child, Overcoming Self-Sabotage and Healing from Abandonment. Okay, so I said that A word, abandonment. And I know, Susan, that you've devoted so much of your career focusing on abandonment. How did that ever come about to inspire you to focus on that?
Well, even before I had my own abandonment experience, which I'll tell you in a second, I always, as a psychotherapist, I looked through the lens of abandonment to really make a connection with my clients. I worked in a psychiatric hospital. That was the way to really establish that close therapeutic bond that would be, become so effective.
Interesting.
So I always had that as a lens. And then my marital partner, the love of my life of 18 years, suddenly up and left me for another woman.
Wow.
Yeah. And the tools that I had been using to help my clients with their heartbreak, loss, and abandonment situations, because this was something, of course, I became rather expert at, knowing what the latest things were that one could do when going through a heartbreak. Using those same tools, I discovered that those tools had about the effectiveness of a baby aspirin. So,
because in other words, you continued to hurt like the Dickens.
Yes, and it felt as though I had been, you know, sliced in half, as if my Siamese twin had taken out a hatchet and chopped himself away from me and left me, you know, dying there without any anesthesia. You know, just it was such a raw wound and so painful, and it brought me to my knees to such an extent. So I began a very thorough search of more effective ways of, number one, understanding what this abandonment wound was all about, not just mine, but the universal human fear of abandonment that we share as a species. In fact, mammals have it even. There's a fear of being separated from, you know, their cage mates or from their troops or from their mothers. So this is a very universal thing. And I found out what it was about through lots of research. And I found out things that we can do to work with that energy that's within that pain of separation, the fear and the pain involved in separation, and what is involved in attachment, and what we can do with those powerful forces of nature in order to turn abandonment into an opportunity for positive change. Now, to do that, you have to be able to deal with self-sabotage, because abandonment is such a wound that it has the capacity to implant a drain deep within the self that drains self-esteem, so that it's actually a loss of self-esteem that you experience from going through abandonment, whether in childhood or adulthood. And so this loss of self-esteem and many other factors that occur in the process of the trauma of abandonment can lead to self-sabotage in the next relationship. And we can all identify with this, because we can all say, gee, based on my heartbreaks from high school, it affected the kind of choices that I made when I later on. It affected whether I settled for someone who was too easy to get, or whether I pursued the unavailable people and wound up getting abandoned constantly. You know, what we go through affects the next relationship. So my biggest thrust was finding a way of overcoming the self-sabotage that is the aftermath of going through abandonment. And that's how Outer Child was born, because Outer Child is the part that acts out our feelings inappropriately. It was the way to separate the feelings from the behavior so that we could use the feelings constructively without acting them out inappropriately.
Okay.
And that's how I began to develop that concept.
So it wasn't just about healing that abandonment wound or that abandonment vulnerability, but also you had to tame that outer child in order to allow that healing to truly take place.
Right. What it wound up really telling me is that healing abandonment is really a doing process. You don't think your way out of it. You do your way out of it. And that became such an amazing thing to observe, that you actually have to take positive actions. And in order to take positive actions, you have to choose the actions to take. You can't let your outer child just do these knee-jerk things.
Got it.
The outer child will spend, you know, the next 5 years talking to your friends and talking their ears off about the abandonment. And
right. Poor me, poor me, poor me.
For me, you know, yeah. There's so many things that outer child will do after going through an abandonment that are just not constructive. So right. In order to really heal, you as the adult, the higher self, uh-huh. has to choose what behaviors to take. And there are many constructive behaviors that are right there looking at us right in the face that we just don't think to take. But they're right there and we can take them and they actually help us heal. And we heal from the inside out. We don't get rid of abandonment fear. It's universal. It's primal. It's part of us. We use it. We use it to heal all the feelings of self-doubt and all of the negative self-hatreds that we accumulate as a result of having that fear.
Right. So what are some of these positive things you can do to begin to heal?
Each person's life is very different in terms of what actions they need to take, but there are certain general principles that apply to everyone. Mm-hmm. So basically, it involves a three-pronged approach. You have to be able to use your imagination in a constructive way because, of course, you have to direct it. You know, you yourself, the higher adult self, has to direct your imagination. Otherwise, it will imagine that you'll never meet anyone again or you'll never overcome your patterns or life
right.
You'll always be broke or you'll always have a messy house or whatever it is. Uh-huh. Your imagination, if you leave it go, will usually, you know, have some pretty negative ideas. So you use your imagination in a constructive, positive way, which is part one. Part two, you make an emotional connection to the self. And this involves taking the abandonment wound by the tail and flipping it to make that wound become the basis of a profound relationship with yourself where you can actually inculcate self-love. And it's done through a doing exercise. Which is a written exercise. It's very easy to do, but it does involve actually writing, not a lot of it, it's not that much writing, but enough writing that just that use of your, you know, the parts of your brain involved in writing, in thinking, in imagining, and in feeling all have to come together when you write the exercise. So it's very strenuous physical therapy for the brain and very effective. And then part three of the program involves taking action. Now, what actions you take rely upon how you use your imagination in your particular case and what kind of needs came out of that new relationship you're developing with yourself. When you tuned in, what have you learned about what you need to do next? And those little actions that you take, the action plan, will develop out of that. But you don't take gigantic strides because you might your outer child will say, I don't want to change. What's going on here? I don't want to take big steps.
Sure.
I want pleasure. So you have to take baby steps because they have to be short, easy, pleasurable, so your outer child won't sabotage it. So the action program has to be very doable, something you won't procrastinate about because, you know, procrastination is an outer child behavior, and so is avoidance. You don't want to have an outer child avoiding and procrastinating. You want to make the action plan so easy and so pleasurable that your outer child won't even be paying attention. You'll be able to do it.
So can you touch upon it? I'm sorry, Susan. Can you touch upon what you were just saying a minute ago about how the avoidance is actually the outer child?
Oh, yes. Outer child is the part that sabotages everything. So outer child is famous for behaviors that are both passive and active. So outer child loves procrastination. It loves to avoid. Its favorite time is tomorrow. Everything seems to be put off till tomorrow. Outer child is the master at not doing anything unpleasant. If it takes too much work, if it's new and it sort of creates anxiety because you've never done it before, outer child will put it off. Outer child is a procrastinator and an avoider. outer child is also the part that overdoes. It overdoes shopping. It overdoes cluttering. It overdoes clinging. It overdoes, you know, it's the part that overdrinks and overspends and overeats and is the part that goes to excess. So okay. It underdoes and it overdoes.
Okay. Well, that's great to know. And Susan, we're going to go to another quick break. But before we go to break, can you please share with our listeners how they can connect with you online?
Yes, I have two websites, outerchild.net and then abandonment.net, because the two websites work together, since abandonment and self-sabotage are two different sides of the same coin.
Okay, great. Well, more with Susan Anderson when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
Edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expanding to social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8. Visit the fearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
Put a little
woo-hoo
in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Dr. Love's Quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. I love that song, Brian. Thank you so much. And, you know, to really experience, you know, complete joy, I think that it's very helpful to deal with our woundedness and to grow and evolve. And I've been on my path for many, many years. And I know that most of our listeners, perhaps all of our listeners, have as well. And to help us along our path is Susan Anderson. She is the author of Taming Your Outer Child, Overcoming Self-Sabotage and Healing from Abandonment. And this is what number one New York Times bestselling author John Bradshaw says about her book. An enormous help to anyone looking to let go of past disappointments and self-recrimination and get on with the essential work of healing, building boundaries, and acquiring the skill to reach our goals. You know, Susan, your book is just filled with wonderful information. And, you know, on the break, we were talking about how, you know, sometimes people have greater abandonment issues than others. Why is that?
Yes, there are so many things that can happen in childhood. Your parents might be alcoholic, which means, I mentioned that earlier, that you're kind of in a chronic state of needing something from people who are only there physically but not completely there emotionally.
Right.
Or you may have come from a single parent family or gone through the divorce of your parents, or there may have been a death, or there may have just been, you might have moved a lot, or
uh-huh.
you witnessed a lot of violence as a child, which gives you a tremendous feeling of helplessness and a loss of self-esteem from not being able to fix it.
Uh-huh.
But these experiences they accumulate into that underlying abandonment fear that we all share, so that when you become an adult, you have quite a lot of baggage, a lot of emotional baggage that you picked up. But with that emotional baggage, really the emotions are not the problem. It's all the defense mechanisms. It's all the reactions and the knee-jerk reaction, you know, that makes sense. Yeah. So that's the part that people who do have, you know, bigger abandonment histories than let's say, someone else, those people are more likely to have a very difficult time going through a breakup. They may have more pain around simple things like not being invited to a party or not getting a promotion at work.
Uh-huh.
And they might also have a harder time reaching their goals because there's just so much defensive avoidance and procrastination and other kinds of behaviors that trump them up.
Right, right. So if we're going to look at like some general behaviors out there in the population that are indicative of an outer child, what are some of the common ones?
Well, the number one most popular one is something I call abandonholism, which is addiction to abandonment, where you tend to be attracted only to the unavailable.
I've known lots of people who fit that category.
Yes, and it even affects marriages, because how many times have I heard as a therapist, in a long-term loving relationship between two people, a partnership that's gone on for 20 years, mm-hmm. one member or the other will come in and say, I love my wife or husband or partner, but mm-hmm. I'm not in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happened is that the passion has drained out for them, and they don't have that, they're not in touch with that special romantic feeling. Mm-hmm. And very often that's because their partner has become someone they're so sure of, they feel so secure with their partner, that they're no longer in that pursuit mode that we're in when we first meet someone, we're pursuing.
Right.
And once they're no longer pursuing that partner, because they can take them completely for granted, they're sure that person's never leaving them. Now, without that insecurity, they're not feeling any passion. So uh-huh. this need to be attracted to the unavailable actually can create a loss of passion in a long-term relationship when you feel really secure with your partner. So it affects so many people. It's probably number one.
So what are some of the other adult behaviors indicating it's, you know, that there are severe abandonment issues?
If you have a lot of sort of unresolved abandonment, you will tend to be more reactive in your relationships and more reluctant to take positive actions on your own behalf, because you will have more sort of an undercurrent of insecurity, and that will make you more prone to doing immediate gratification.
Okay.
So somebody with a lot of abandonment might be someone who can't seem to stop spending, can't mm-hmm. stop eating, can't stop talking about people behind their back, can't mm-hmm. stop isolating when they're upset, and so forth, because there are so many compulsive behaviors that are service defense mechanisms for all of those you know, unresolved feelings that are bubbling around in there.
Right.
But there are solutions to these problems.
So when you say, I just want you to flesh out a little bit. When you say more reactive in relationships, what do you mean by that?
Well, they might take things personally that aren't intended to be personal, and uh-huh. they don't know how to finesse a social situation because their immediate need is to be reassured that they haven't been abandoned, that they haven't been rejected. So there's a tendency to become too needy and too people-pleasing and too codependent with other people. Those are very strong outer children behaviors. Uh-huh. And that tends to take your power and reduce it for yourself and give it to other people so that you're not presenting yourself as someone who's got great value. Instead, you're overcompensating and giving too much to the other person and sort of selling yourself down the river and making yourself less desirable in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. So in other words, you're trying to prove that you're worthy and that you deserve not to be abandoned.
Yes, and that you're practically buying that from people. You know, one of the biggest outer child ploys is, okay, I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to do everything for you. When it's your birthday, I'm going to be so, you know, mindful of your birthday because when it's my birthday, I want you to do it for me. So a lot of
right.
what's going on is you're bargaining. You're trying to be the best friend to everyone in hopes that they will turn around and be your best friend.
Uh-huh.
And it tends to backfire because then you become someone who's sort of, you know, too self-effacing, too overcompensating, and you have devalued yourself in their eyes.
Mm-hmm. And don't you think people eventually pick up on some of these things and no longer feel comfortable in that kind of relationship?
They do because they feel the strings that are attached.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a solution to this behavior, which requires changing the intention of the behavior without changing the behavior all that much. Because, of course, what we want to be in our relationships is we want to be emotionally generous. We
right.
want to actually give people what we wish to receive. We want to live by the golden rule, of course.
Uh-huh. Right.
But we don't want to do it with the kinds of strings that are attached. So some of the behaviors are the same, but the intention is different. And
right.
that affects the subtleties of the behaviors.
Uh-huh.
Only a little bit, perhaps, almost imperceptibly, but enough that when we are being cheerful and friendly and giving and abundant to other people, they're picking up that it's just nice to be with us. We're good energy. Rather than, oh, we're drained or we're expecting something. Little
right.
subtle changes, but it has to occur internally. It can't be an act. We have to actually feel less needy in order to be able to carry out these behaviors effectively. And we can only do that through, you know, loving ourselves more, and we can only do that through an exercise that involves doing.
So can you share with our listeners in just a couple of minutes before we have to go to another break, an example of somebody going through this three-part process?
Well, let's take the person who's an abandonaholic, since that's such a popular problem out there where we're attracted only to the unavailable. And when somebody uh-huh. is available, we kind of lose interest. Let's say that you have that problem, and you know it's a problem that you can't snap your fingers and make it go away. You can't
mm-hmm.
say, you know, I think I'll be attracted to available people from now on, because you try. You date someone who looks perfect on paper, but for some reason you feel no attraction, because that those magical things of who we're attracted to, you know, the chemistry,
uh-huh.
those things we can't control consciously.
Right.
So what can we do? Well, we can embark on a program where we can use our imagination constructively via an exercise so that we really get our minds focused properly. And then we can undertake an exercise that involves some writing that actually helps us to administer to the very, very deep part of us that represents sort of the abandoned child within, and
uh-huh.
get in touch with the fact that we really do want to be loved in a very genuine way, getting in touch with that, really feeling it and communicating with it and saying, okay, I hear you to yourself, and I'm going uh-huh. to help us get that. And then taking little steps all the time, baby steps that are easy to do that bring us in touch with more of our alter ego selves so that we can really start to do things differently and explore the world differently. And without being able to find that internal switch that says, okay, I'm attracted to this person now, we don't have access to that switch directly, but we can change the climate within. And sure enough, that switch does eventually change because we really start to find people who can meet us halfway. And it feels good instead of being indifferent to those kind of people, we start to feel attracted to them.
Well, that's wonderful. So essentially your process is getting people who are, how did you put it, attractaholics?
Abandonholics.
Yes. And so, putting them into healthy relationships.
They're so caught up in the pattern of being abandoned all the time, it's almost as if they've become addicted to abandonment itself. And yes, it's a way of getting them out of that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, we're going to need to go to another quick break, but more with Susan Anderson, author of Taming Your Outer Child, when we return here on the Christine Upchurch Show.
But then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still so afraid? Where's the fire? What's the hurry about? You better cool it off before you burn it up.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Naturopathic doctor, founder of the Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat, and author of the New York Times bestseller 21 Pounds in 21 Days, Dr. Ronnie DeLuce has helped tens of thousands of people, including celebrities and athletes, with her message of lifestyle change. Now Dr. Ronnie DeLuce wants to help you. You too can be saved. Email Dr. Ronnie DeLuce at info@ronniedeluceonradio.com and visit mvholisticretreat.com. Dr. Ronnie DeLuce, your partner in wellness.
Are you anxious and worried? Do you feel stuck with fear and insecurity? Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My breakthrough and empowerment program has helped thousands to overcome their emotional challenges. Join me for the upcoming Breakthrough and Empowerment video seminar series, which starts on April 8th. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to find out how you can transform your life in just 3 months.
Put a little
woo-hoo
in your life with Keys. Keys Clear Protein Waters have 22 grams of smile-making, attitude-adjusting protein in every bottle. Did I mention its tongue-tingling taste? Not just another guilty pleasure. With Keys, you'll enjoy every low-sugar sip and freedom from gluten, lactose, and GMOs. Who needs the fountain of youth when you can find Keys on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com. Put a little
woohoo
in your attitude with Keys Protein Water.
Doctor loves quickies.
Mary's about ready to give love the shove, because no matter what she tries, guys don't know that she's alive. To turn guys on, she needs to turn on those green lights, nonverbal cues that say, over here. Most guys won't approach unless they're cleared for landing. So ladies, to kickstart your love life, turn on those green lights and flash your pearly whites. I'm Dr. Jamie Turndorf of AskDrLove.com.
Your lipstick stain.
Welcome back to the Christine Upchurch Show here on Transformation Talk Radio. I'm having a conversation today with Susan Anderson. And Susan, you know, you've talked a lot about the abandonment issues that create that outer child, and you've actually talked a little bit about the framework for helping to heal it, and you gave us some good examples of how people have healed these things. But if somebody is like listening right now and they're realizing, oh yeah, sometimes I sabotage myself and eat too much, or I've been attracted to people who haven't been available. If there's evidence that we have some sort of abandonment issue that's causing us problems, how do we overcome it?
Well, the message that I'm always trying to give people is that we can change anything. As long as we're not perfectionists, we're not trying to completely change our whole personality. If we tend to be a people-pleasing type, we don't have to become the opposite of that. Uh-huh. We don't have to be totally healthy in every area and be perfectionist about all the things that we're doing. We need to make improvements in certain areas, and we don't have to become perfect. The improvements that we need to make will happen if we remain goal-directed enough, which I'll explain. But we just the improvements will be enough to make a difference that makes all the difference. So that if we're looking to get into a relationship, let's say, and we haven't been able to have a long-term relationship, and maybe we've been too codependent to be able to withstand it. Okay. We don't have to become non-codependent. We just need to improve it a little bit. And as we fix a little bit of the codependency so that we're thinking more in terms of what's in our own best interest, and we're able to stay centered a little bit more in the self and remain selfful, you know, instead of always giving ourselves away. If we can do a little bit of an improvement there, sometimes that's all it takes. We don't have to be perfect to be able to finally make another person see our value and our worth and be able to hang in there. But here's what it is. The idea is you have to get to know your outer child, and there's a 250-item outer child checkoff list to help you do that. Of course, the book gives many, many examples to help you warm up to what is your own outer child doing that's getting in your way. You also have to be goal-directed, and many of us have given up our goals because we don't want to be disappointed. But the idea is we have to resurrect those goals, admit to those goals, dreams that we've let go of, perhaps. Put our goals on the screen of our mind. And then we have to initiate a program that actually works, that's easy, something that isn't difficult. Otherwise, we'll never do it. It has to be something easy to do that we can incorporate into our daily life, that with being able to stay focused on our goals and being aware of what our outer child is doing that's disrupting us, that awareness and then taking some action is all we need to fix things just enough to make all the difference in the world.
All right. And I love the way you focus on baby steps, Susan. And you've got some great examples in your book of people who take these baby steps and then ultimately have a lot of healing because of it.
Yes. The idea is that you're taking self-loving baby steps.
Uh-huh.
And when you take the step, you're doing it with the idea that you're doing this to show love. So you do it with a certain conscious intention. Because what this is all about is increasing consciousness. It's increasing your ability to enjoy life in the moment, be able to get into the moment where you really are the center of the universe and you're one with everything in life. And you can appreciate things with the intention of showing yourself love so that you can also share it with others. It's not a selfish love. It's a love that is shared. So there is it's loving kindness toward the self and toward the world. So there is a desire that people have of making a connection, and it is that that begins this process. They make a connection to the self, and then they connect with life around them.
Mm-hmm. And do people need to get help sometimes?
They do need help. The book is a step-by-step, makes it easy as possible.
And it's a wonderful book, by the way. I really do love it. It's great.
Yeah, you know, it's very down-to-earth. It's extremely doable because, of course, outer child wants to procrastinate and avoid anything that's unpleasant. So the book is very doable. But, you know, there's extra help. The website is there for people to be able to connect with. And also,
remind our listeners again. What's the name of the website?
Abandonment.net and OuterChild.net, and they go together. And they'll tell you about where there are workshops and groups that you can attend to support your efforts.
Great. And if you could share with our listeners something in 30 seconds or less, a final message to them, what would you like to say, Susan?
Well, people feel so stuck, but no matter how many years you've struggled to overcome something, there's always a way to overcome it. You just haven't tried the right steps. Mm-hmm. So I just want everyone to know there is hope. No matter what it is, you can make an improvement, and just enough improvement that may make all the difference in the world.
That's great. And, you know, I so love the program that you've set up and your perspective on things. It's as I said earlier in the show, it's new and different, and I think extremely helpful. And I'm so grateful that you joined us here today. Thank you so much, Susan.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And I'm glad you listeners have joined us here today. I have just a quick announcement before we head out. I have got a seminar coming up in April that I wanted to share with our listeners about. And, you know, if you've been listening to me on the show and you hear what I say in my newsletters, I'm really focused on change and transformation. That's my passion. That's one of the reasons that I have these wonderful guests such as Susan on, you know, to share these conversations with you. But I'm also going to be sharing something important coming up in April. You know, we all seem to have something in our lives that we would like to shift. And there are all these different ways to implement change. But, you know, if you're like me, you know, you may have tried different ways to change, different approaches, and still not get what you want. And yes, we can do inner work, and that's helpful. But, you know, there's actually an energetic aspect of this that, there are these universal principles governing change that I bet you haven't heard about before. And these principles determine whether or not we are successful in getting the change that we want. When we follow these five basic principles, it leads us to positive, lasting change. But when we ignore them, we stay stuck. So, you know, if you're struggling in at least one area of your life, well, that means that you're missing an essential ingredient in your recipe for change. And if you're interested in learning, like, how to successfully implement change, then I invite you to join me at the Tolaris Conference Settle in Seattle, April 25th, because I'm going to be offering an experiential workshop that will help you to create a personalized roadmap for change. When we look at these universal principles, yes, they're sort of energetic in nature, but really it translates into simple nuts and bolts, how to approach life. And you don't even have to think about the energetics, but once you have illuminated for you how to shift your behavior based on those principles, it can help you create much more positive change. So I invite you, if you want to learn more, go to stellarreflections.com. You can call our office, 425-999-9836, 425-999-9836. And I invite you to join us. It's going to be a great group here in Seattle. And I encourage you to live more vibrantly. Thanks so much for joining us here today. And I look forward to talking to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Each week, this show engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about the transformative healing work of Christine, visit www.stellarreflections.com. And for weekly topics, visit www.transformationtalkradio.com.